Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gauze.
Hey.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Summer Pockets, a series that's only a few episodes in. Since this is based on a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we pique your interest. It was animated by Feel, the studio behind Kiss Sis, and My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu. Summer Pockets currently has a score of 71% on AnyList. We're no longer using My Anime List because of AI.
Oh!
Yeah.
How are they using AI?
In April 2025, Gaudy, a Tokyo-based company that specializes in Web3 and AI technology, acquired MediaDew's ownership stake in My Anime List.
Oh.
On May 7th, 2025, Gaudy proceeded to buy out the remaining shareholders and in turn has become the sole owner of My Anime List.
Okay. That's unfortunate.
They're owned by an AI company, so...
So it's hard to say what they're going to be using the AI for.
Everything.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, it's just... In my opinion, personally, I'm just curious about why.
Advertising website traffic.
That's a good point.
Anyway, Summer Pockets is a visual novel that originally came out in 2018 and then had an expanded version released in 2020 to coincide with the English release of the original game. We haven't had the expanded version yet. This series has been in production since late 2021. And apparently will run for 2 seasons of 13 episodes.
I'm surprised they already have 2 seasons prepared.
Yes, I was quite surprised when I saw it's going to run for 2 cours. I think that's how you pronounce it. C-O-U-R. Which okay. basically is a season of 13 episodes.
Yeah,
I'm not giving it a shot on how to pronounce that. Sorry, Gordon, go on.
After looking into the game, I mean, the story seems quite long, so I can see it running for 2 seasons.
At least. My short synopsis for this is, can you cross the Seto Inland Sea to escape your troubles? Artura, what do you have?
After his grandmother passed, Sekihara takes a summer vacation to an island to help sort through her belongings and makes friends along the way.
And goes.
The boring hipster comes to an island for summer, meets all the anime archetypes, and goes along with all the stupid shit.
I mean, not wrong. We open on a ferry crossing the Seto Inland, the Seto Inland Sea to Torishorijima Island. Takahara Hari? I'll just call him Takahara.
I don't know. I just called him Harry for the whole thing.
I just call him Takahara for the whole thing.
That could be a good nickname for him, Artura. Harry.
Our protagonist tells a random old lady that he's emotionally damaged, and then he hallucinates a glowing butterfly. But it draws his attention to someone with lavender hair on a pier as the ferry approaches.
A ferry approaches? Oh my god!
He gets a montage.
Is he wearing a fursuit?
Of Takahara exploring as he's visited the island before. He eventually arrives at his destination and we get a title card.
Yeah, at this point I thought there's going to be his repeated catchphrase that he's a broken bird of passage.
Look, I went my whole notes without writing that down, without referencing that. I went out of my way to avoid using that broken wing bird rubbish.
And you had to go and do this.
How could you do this to me, girls?
I mean, in the end, he only said it like 2 times in the first episode. It then became a thing. But it still comes across like a hipster thing.
He said it 3 times in the first episode and then in the 3rd episode.
Oh, did he? I missed that. I was too focused on other stuff. I was too focused on the initial D sequence.
He's staying in his deceased grandmother's house and we're introduced to his aunt. Her name is Masaki and she was going to pick him up at the port, but didn't for reasons she never even tries to explain.
She just didn't want to. I think that's like, oh, I forgot. Why? Anyway.
No, she says, I was going to pick you up, but you know.
No, exactly.
No, I don't know, Auntie.
I'm old.
I'm going to start using that when I don't want to give a reason. Oh, you know.
Why did you steal his Apple product? Oh, you know. Later, Takahara exposits to himself about how he's there to help clear out the house over the summer break. He naps and then asks for something to eat. Misaki has prepared a meal of absolutely nothing, for which she vaguely doesn't apologize for, just lamenting that Takahara's first meal has to be instant noodles.
Because, you know.
I like that they pause and like they have the little advert for the noodles on the TV, and then it's she like opens a huge crate of those noodles, like she's that suggestible.
Oh, it was an advert, so I'll just nip to the shop and get some instant noodles.
She's the kind of person that like sees those infomercials for like with Mr. T for some kind of weird product and just instantly calls them and buys it.
Well, I thought of it as like a commercial where there's the jingle and then suddenly the character in the advert has the product. Oh, it's Mr. Sheen's shiny shoes. Oh, like these ones. Wow, it's so shiny. Anyway, she then realizes that she doesn't even have to prepare the noodles because there's a diner down the hill. So she sends him there on her scooter. Because, you know.
Look, I hope. I was going to mention this in the upcoming scene, but I really hope she gave him the money for it, at least. Because it's not specified.
No. He goes there and orders a happy set meal, which doesn't come as he imagined it, apparently. I assume the joke just doesn't translate. Afterwards, Takahara goes on a joyride while someone in a lighthouse watches from afar. He gets lost and winds up at an elementary school. He hears something splash into the water and goes to investigate the pool. He finds someone in their underwear, and it's the lavender hair girl from earlier.
I was surprised it wasn't surprise nudity at this point.
Yeah, actually, they never reference in the entire scene the fact she's wearing underpants.
Which took a lot of effort from our protagonist, you can tell.
They introduce themselves as Shiroha and say they're practicing swimming. Shiroha gives him directions and he leaves. And then the next day he's woken up by Umi, one of his cousins. I assume it's never outright stated how they are related. After eating, they play rock, paper, scissors to find out who does which chore on which day. And Umi is terrible at the game, but they're like 8 years old, so, you know.
Unless she has like a, it seems like a lighthearted moment, but it's like a serious moment where she loses her innocence and learns to bluff.
Well, that's one way to look at that.
Later, Takahara finds someone sleeping beneath a tree with a legally distinct Pokemon next to them. The sleeper starts to slowly fall to the ground from their very safe sitting position, so Takahara assaults them.
Okay, now that's how it's perceived. How dare you?
Oh no, she's slipping down to the ground, like 6 inches. Wow, no, she'd die.
She wakes up and she's like, why did you do that? And he's like, oh, I know the answer for this. You know.
I just imagined that when she starts sleeping, he has like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure moment where he like looks on the ground where she's falling and there's all kinds of danger there. There's like a dragon or psycho power.
She seems totally into it at first as she wakes up. I added a note asking if we got a name, and later we get her name, so no, we didn't get a name. She just makes fun of his name. She then realizes the time and runs off with the Pokemon named Inari, who we never see again. Takahara winds up getting soaked by the ocean, and while drying his shirt on the back of his bike, someone tells him that there's a shirtless hunt in progress, as if that's a phrase everyone knows, and Takahara races away as that guy is shot by water, I think.
God, that was such a dramatic moment. Like, that guy died, ran away.
Well, I didn't know if it was water or if it was, like, sun lotion or oil. Get your shirt on, or I'll oil you up.
That's different kind of anime, or you use that.
Later at home, Uni is very embarrassed by the topless cousin. I added a note, does her family not share baths? We'll circle back to that. Uni tells him about a box delivered for him, and when he opens it and finds a photo of him and his school swimming team, Uni isn't embarrassed by the photo of three shirtless people.
I mean, it's a photo. It's not as scary as the real thing.
He leaves the house and goes to the school swimming pool, where he finds Sha, now in a swimming costume instead of underwear. He gives
I feel like I need to go back. It's not he wasn't in a swimming club. He wasn't in a swimming club. He was in a swim shorts club.
Yes, here's what he tells her. Takahara gives Shiroha some swimming tips and runs away, and the episode ends. And it's the title for the next episode, and it's the song for the song that plays is from the game.
Oh.
Episode 2 opens on Uni eating rice by herself when one of her parents enters the house and ignores her, which probably answers my question about the baths. Then Uni and Takahara are eating the same dish, and the episode opens on the titles. We come back on Takahara having been given the day off of sorting the house, so he is driving the scooter and passes some with dark hair and a suitcase.
Wait, sorry to go back again, but were we already at the first sequence where Uni makes rice and he's like, impressive, and she is like, no, not really. Yeah, you're right.
That was the first episode, yeah.
she gets smacked. Yeah, you're right. It's not. I'm taking back that that positive feedback.
Takahara arrives at the port and sees the lavender hair from the pool, who I did name earlier, and I forgot to copy and paste the name into that bit. She stops him from immediately leaving and thanks him for the advice, and then she leaves immediately. No, don't go. I'll go. Takahara makes his way to a shrine and is interrupted by three kids talking about him. They think he's Lucifer because their grandmother is the old woman who he was talking to in the first episode, and she apparently misheard him because of the broken wings and blah 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 that Gauz had to bring up.
They ruined everything.
They run off. They run off, and he spots a lighthouse the lighthouse that we saw earlier from the shrine. So he goes to check it out. He hears some soft humming from someone with twin tails sat at the top, and has to shout for them to hear him. How did he hear the soft humming?
Not only that, they zoom out and they look like they're far away from each other. This guy has like super hearing. Add that to his predatory skill.
Twindell says that they're looking for their purpose, but the pair are interrupted by an announcement over the loudspeaker system telling Takahara to go to the public office. There to greet him is Nomura, who shot the shirtless guy before, and he's also there. His name is Mitani. I don't think I use their names ever again. Mitani shot again. Takahara is there because they're throwing him a welcoming party that night. Their friend Tenzin is up on the mountain, so they ask Takahara to find him. When he finds him, instead of taking him back, they just play ping pong. Nomura winds up going and getting them both. And then at the party, Takahara is introduced to the person he found sleeping under the tree and attacked, Ayo. Since they introduce themselves as basically every young person on the island, he asks about Shiroha, and they basically call her weird. Like, it takes them 5 minutes, but that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, we didn't invite her because, you know.
There's a time skip and it's cicadas. Takahara stops at a shop for a shaved ice, and the shopkeeper tells him to eat it inside as it's so hot. Blah, blah, blah. He throws shaved ice at Ayo's. And then she literally says that he bukkake'd her. Like, I wound it up. I thought, wait, no, she didn't say. Yeah. Yeah, she says the word bukkake. And I'm like, this is an all ages anime and game. What? They wind up throwing shaved ice at each other. And I was honestly just laughing the whole time. It was a really funny scene.
Indeed.
He turns up home shirtless and scares Uni again, and then has a bath and forgets why he's even on the island in the first place.
Obviously, his grandma meant a lot to him.
Whose house is this? He goes out again, being told by his aunt that she'll ask for his help eventually. At a beach, he meets Shiroha and remembers why he's there, to find out how to enjoy summer break. And the episode ends. During the end credits, because we didn't get them in the first episode, there's one image which seems to be just taken from the visual novel, as it's not animated. It's one of the characters in a bikini bent over, and it just stylistically looks different from everything else in that scene. Anyway, episode 3 opens up on the person with the suitcase. Have they been walking for 2 days? Is this a flashback? Who knows? And then the titles. Takahara is told that his help still isn't required, so he listens to the cicadas. Uni convinces him to go to the reservoir, where he meets Shiroha. She embarrasses herself, and he goes there, meeting the person with the suitcase. Her name is Kurishima, and she already knows his name. She has him push her along as she sits on the suitcase. And then at the top of a hill, she pushes the suitcase down it and jumps on, racing to the bottom, where she falls into the sea.
Never to be seen again. Or so our protagonist thinks.
And Takahara jumps over, but starts drowning. So, the star of the swimming team, clearly. Kurishima pulls him up.
Not a swimming team. You have to get it right. The shorts swimming team?
Swimming shorts team. Kurishima pulls him up onto the suitcase, saving his life. And once they're out of the water, she's drying her dress, and this is a quote. He says, "I saw the heavens, the blue, the sky, I mean, also her underwear." While walking, they encounter Uni and Shiroha in different places before they reach the school. They break in with the suitcase and find a treasure chest and diary that Kurishima and her friends hid there a decade ago. There's a lot of chatter, and the episode ends with Takahara pushing Kurishima home atop the suitcase. End of the episode. So, was it a good adaptation? Nobody?
Okay. I thought it was. As far as I can see, it's following the same story as the game. You know, the characters are there. The protagonist is the same. The narrative of, like, the reason why he's on the island is the same. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty accurate. I don't think we got to the point with the mini games yet, unless throwing ice at each other was a mini game that they missed. Doing an ice bucket challenge.
I've just shared a screenshot in the Discord of a scene from the game aside the anime version of that very same scene. And as you can see, it looks barely anything alike.
Well,
yeah, it's very censored.
Yeah, the
that's just the science that it's not It's not similar at all.
It's nothing like that. No. See, there's only two little bows on the bra cup, and in the game there's three, and
they just didn't put any effort into this. God damn it.
Oh yes, the bows. Yeah, the bows. I was looking at the color of her pants.
But yeah, it does appear to be going the same. But as always with a visual novel adaptation, I do wonder which woman the protagonist is going to end up with. Because in the game, you romance all of them through different playthroughs, which then unlocks like the true ending of the game.
After some, they'll go for the true ending. Though, to be fair, I feel like that would kind of invalidate the whole point of getting them all in your own playthrough.
Oh, and the expanded version, once you've done the true ending, there is then another ending to play through.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, according to Wikipedia.
That's okay. We just watch the anime like 7 times and then you get the true ending to the anime, I guess.
Well, when I went to Wikipedia and looked at the synopsis, it starts with a paragraph that explains the entire plot twist, and I wonder if that's like, does the game start with that? Because the anime didn't.
Takahara goes to the island because he killed someone. Also, he's there to romance with. I'm not reading from Wikipedia. I just made that up. Don't worry. I did not spoil the game for you.
No, it's more than that. The first paragraph is like Takahara is supposed to be the future leader of the resistance. And then we go back to the year 2000 where he goes to an island for a summer break.
What?
No, that's not the real plot twist. I'm just saying that's how it comes across. That's how it starts explaining the twist, and that's how big the twist is that he's going to be the future leader of the rebellion or something
against the machines. He is John Connor.
Yes, he is John Connor. Or he gives birth to John Connor.
Okay, so based on the first 3 episodes, is it Yata, Nani, or Baka Artura?
I think for me it's a Yata. I was kind of torn between Yata and Nani because I really enjoyed the characters, and then with an asterisk because I hated the protagonist. But the girls more than make up for it, so for me it's a Yata.
And girls?
Yeah, for me it's a Yata also. I thought it was funny, and despite my short synopsis at the start, I actually liked the protagonist. He just kind of ends up singing everyone by just going with the flow, like the scene with the rice. Oh, it's pretty impressive because I made the rice. Yeah. No, it's not really. Yeah, you're right.
For me, I thought it was a Yata. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Even the slow scenes weren't boring slow, which is a plus on a slice of life anime. So will you keep watching?
No. But that's actually because I kind of wishlisted the game. I have this rule that if something is overwhelmingly positive, and I kind of always wishlisted, and I make a note that I'm going to play it eventually in my life, hopefully. So I went to check it out to see if it was similar. I saw it was overwhelmingly positive, and given the fact that I really liked the girls, and the one I had the most problem was with the protagonist, it sounds like a good deal to me.
So you're going to have a big problem with yourself?
Yeah, but that's no different. Because, you know, anyway.
I hate myself anyway, so...
And girls?
I like to. Although I feel like that's good. Like having a skim through the synopsis of the game, I feel like that's going to be soul crushing.
Oh dear.
But it was like very interesting, very well paced. It was wasteful, but not to the point of being annoying. It was just enough, just wasteful enough about summer and stuff.
I do want to keep watching it because I don't have 32 hours to play through the game. That's according to howlongtobeat.com, just to finish the main story. That's not including the extras, and that's certainly not including the expanded version.
Mm.
I do want to know how this story continues.
Well, you'll have to play the game to find out how Harry and the president fought on top of the flying White House.
Because, you know.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining me, Artur and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anywhere Lounge. And but yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.